With the 20th pick in the NFL draft, the Philadelphia Eagles select.
You're listening to the Journey to the Draft podcast, presented by AAA.
Every athlete has a journey. Focus on the game.
Let's worry about getting you there. Auto repair, roadside assistance, and auto insurance. Start your journey at AAA.com.
Chris is back. The shill man's back.
Yes, I am.
All right.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Journey to the Draft podcast presented by AAA. And yes, it is my season debut. I missed you guys so much. Chris McPherson here alongside Bo Wolf and Fran Duffy. And fellas, it's been a long time in the making, to say the very least. Literally and figuratively, because you guys have been at the Shrine Game, at the Senior Bowl. Tremendous coverage, great job profiling all the prospects for this year's draft. And even today, on this Thursday, as we're taping this, we have news break, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But that kind of delayed our ability to start the podcast. We've had to wait just that much longer to get things rolling here. But, guys, missed you here at NovaCare holding things down. But from your last couple of weeks, you've been able to interview so many different prospects. You've seen them in action. And I think that's probably the best part of these all-star game events is that you have the practices. Whereas I get to go to the combine in February, and it's underwear drills and track and field type stuff. You don't really get to see the action. We actually don't even get to see the action. We're just in the press room the entire time at the combine. Who are some of the players who impressed you, caught your eye, made you think, you know what, that guy might be pretty good in midnight green?
Well, I'm Bo Wolf. That's Fran Duffy over there, by the way.
Hey, guys.
Hi, Fran.
Well, Fran, you go first.
Well, I guess we'll start the Shrine Game. And the guy that, I mean, he ended up getting an invite to the Senior Bowl. I thought he did a really good job at the Shrine Game, especially based off what you saw from him at Kentucky. And that's defensive end Za'Darius Smith, big guy who showed a little bit of athleticism, showed a little bit more ability as a pass rusher at both the Shrine Game and the Senior Bowl.
I wasn't that impressed with him at the Shrine Game.
See, I thought he did a good job. And then at the Senior Bowl, I thought he did a really good
job. I thought
job
he was
too.
Better at the Senior Bowl than he was at the Shrine Game. Well,
he found a way to earn himself an invite. So. I thought that Smith looked pretty good in both weeks. Let's see. Josh Shaw, I thought, did a pretty good job. Trey McBride, the wide receiver.
I also was not impressed with Josh Shaw at the Shrine Game.
I know, and he ended up at the Senior Bowl as well.
Are you disagreeing on purpose?
I actually didn't see much from Josh Shaw either week. I thought he was a little better the second week, too. But
I would disagree. I saw enough to make me excited about what he can be as a press corner. Trey McBride, the receiver from William & Mary.
Yeah, you love Trey.
Trey McBride. Darian Miller, I know, is a guy that you liked from Kentucky, the left tackle.
Absolutely. Skinny legs, Darian.
I don't know. Who are some guys that stood out for you at the Shrine?
My three Shrine guys, and they were pretty much the same all week.
The X-Man.
Darian Miller, the X-Man.
And BJ.
Xavier Williams from Northern Iowa, the defensive tackle. And BJ Finney, the interior lineman from Kansas State.
So
those
was
my
it,
three guys.
So was it someone that you knew going in that you were like, this guy called my
I hadn't seen I hadn't seen any of them play. I mean, I watched a few guys
of course.
Ahead of time with Fran, but I hadn't seen any of those three guys play until we got there, and I liked them all.
They get one play, and all of a sudden, Bo gets a twinkle in the eye.
I went back and did some QC of some of the first podcasts, and on the very first day, Bo brought up all three guys, and they stuck with him for the rest of the week, so...
What can I say? Did I bring up Darian Miller the first day? I feel like he was more of a second, third day for me.
Miller, I don't think you brought up, but definitely the X-Man, definitely BJ Finney.
Finney and the X-Man, those are my two pet projects.
Darian Miller was not love at first sight.
Yeah, the Senior Bowl,
because
I mean,
he's got those skinny legs.
Well, that's the thing. Senior Bowl, Clive Walford, the tight end from Miami, I thought had a really good week. Separated himself from the other tight ends down there. Carl Davis, the defensive tackle from Iowa. Lakin Tomlinson, the guard from Duke. I mean, a few of those guys I thought really separated themselves from other guys at that position.
Yeah, for me, the Senior Bowl is different than the Shrine Game. Whereas at the Shrine Game, I'm looking to find like the diamonds in the rough. Like, that guy, could be a fifth round pick. Whereas at the Senior Bowl, I'm not impressed if I see a guy who's like, oh, yeah, he looks like he could be like a third, fourth round pick. At the Senior Bowl, I want to see guys who really, really stand out. Philip Dorsett was like that. His speed was sort of next level versus the other guys. But I'm also hesitant on a guy like Philip Dorsett because a couple years ago, I really liked Joe Adams at the Senior Bowl. He's out of football now.
Yep.
Those shorter guys who rely on sort of the quickness and the speed. So I like Philip Dorsett a lot, but past experience makes me a little more hesitant than with some other guys.
Jalen Saunders last year was the same deal.
But I didn't like Jalen Saunders.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't sold on Jalen Saunders. Like the first year I went Titus Young, everybody was raving about Titus Young. I didn't really like Titus Young that much, but that's sort of the similar prospect of guy. I didn't like Jameson Crowder that much. And he was getting a lot of love this week.
But I actually kind
of
like Crowder.
I like Dorsett more than I like Crowder by a long shot.
All right. I mean, the one guy who actually surprised me a little bit, Georgia Tech offensive lineman Shaq Mason. And the big thing that I was really interested to see with him coming out of that triple option offense, you know, it's very unconventional. It's, you know, obviously very run-based. Didn't see a lot of him in pass protection in college. I thought he held up pretty well in pass pro drills one-on-one, especially later in the week. I thought he really settled in.
All right, so for fans who have not checked this show out before, we are now going to delve into the latest news facing the Eagles in our Draft Buzz.
Now it's time for Draft Buzz.
Was that always the same music?
Always.
Was that new?
Was always. It?
No,
really?
I like that jingle.
There you go. Thanks.
It sounded different.
You put those together, right, Fran?
That's right.
So, phenomenal job there.
Thank you.
On the intros. I did enjoy listening to the podcast. I even enjoyed hearing my name be dropped on the show a couple times.
The debate of whether or not we would go with Chris McPherson's face or Tony Pauline's body or vice versa.
Loved it.
Yeah, that's good.
Great stuff. That's why I tried to pull at least the fashion stuff
for today. You try to make you second guess yourself with his fashion sense today.
That's right.
So Draft Buzz, we'll kick off with some Eagles-related news. The Eagles have named Ed Manowitz the vice president of player personnel, promoting him from within the ranks. He's going to be Chip Kelly's right-hand man when it comes to personnel. And you read the tweets, you saw the quotes in the article. He is a fast riser in the organization, someone who was Nick Saban's right-hand man at Alabama, built that team that won three national championships in 4 seasons. You know, has come to the Eagles and has really made an impression on Chip Kelly. It seemed like just the right guy can grow into the job, and he and Chip already have that chemistry, already have that working relationship. Having worked for Chip for 2 years, he'll really know what he wants and get the scouts in line to be able to find those guys.
Yeah, they can hit the ground running, and obviously, you know, Ed has been scouting this year with Chip's prism in mind, so they'll be able to pick that up for this draft process pretty easily. And you know, Ed is a guy who I like a lot, so I'm happy for him.
And you can see the reaction from, you know, the insiders and people that have been around from, you know, the Twitterverse. You look at Andrew Brandt, who tweeted, you know, some nice things. Adam Kaplan, obviously, is very tied into the team.
You still follow Andrew Brandt?
Still follow Andrew Brandt. He's got some good stuff.
Better you than me.
Former NFL scouts, former Eagles scouts who have been, you know, in the building with Ed that tweeted out, you know, some good things. So
Ross Tucker
as well. That's right. Who dealt with him when Ed was at the college level. So really, everyone's got great things to say. So it's a great hire.
It seemed like from the beginning that there was a chance he would be the guy. You know, just I think it was good for Chip to interview different people, talk to people around the league, see what else is out there, but I think they made the right move is staying internally, promoting someone from within the ranks, especially a young, on-the-rise type prospect like Manowitz. Let's go into some of the prospects themselves. So Marcus,
I will say the other thing, the other effect this is going to have is that in addition to every Oregon player being linked to the Eagles, now every Alabama player is going to be linked to the Eagles throughout the draft process as well.
Well, I think there are 8 first-round picks.
That's how it affects us, at least.
I think for Manowitz, he found or helped.
From his recruiting classes.
Yeah, 8 first-round picks in the short time that he was there. So let's go to the prospects. And everyone out there obviously wants to talk about Marcus Mariota. And the buzz around him, this is not Eagles-related, this is Combine-related, that he suffered a shoulder injury in the national championship game against Ohio State and is not sure whether or not he'll throw at the Combine. Now, I read the article, and the shoulder injury is really not a factor in that. He says he's feeling good from the shoulder. He's just still deciding as to whether or not that he will throw. He didn't go to the Senior Bowl because of the injury. Good move, bad move. Should he throw at the Combine or not?
I think this is pathetic on Marcus Mariota's part. I think that if he's not going to throw, there's no way that I would take him in the first 19 picks.
I agree.
Keep trying. You know, I think that look, I mean, with the guys trying to decide if they're going to participate in drills or not at the Combine, I think it's a kind of case-by-case basis. I wouldn't kill a guy too much if, I don't know, especially with the quarterbacks, you know, you're throwing to receivers that you're not familiar with. It's not like at the Senior Bowl where, you know, you're working with the guys for a week. You have one day to go out and show, you know, what you've got, and really a couple hours to go out and show what you've got with guys you've never thrown before. Quarterbacks, I think it's a little bit different than, say, a running back or an offensive lineman or a linebacker not going through drills.
Yeah, you do not want to mess with a balky throwing shoulder. I mean, if you have a top 19 pick, you might only have one chance to pick up that high in the next for a few years. You can't risk that on a guy who's got a shoulder, the most important part of his throwing motion, If that's gonna be terrible in the NFL, you might completely wash out. You can't risk that.
The second item here, or third item, I should say now, on Draft Buzz is also Mariota related, and it's Tony Dungy. Now, Tony Dungy.
Oh, Fran's friend.
Yes, Fran's friend will be featured in what's the segment that
it'll be an eye in the sky. It'll be an eagle eye in the sky. Yeah, coming up. So we'll see.
Tease.
Date to be announced.
Okay.
Friend of friend, Duffy, Tony Dungy.
Yes. Fran's going to go in depth on the Tampa 2. That's why he interviewed Dungy for it. Tony Dungy's son played for Chip Kelly at Oregon and just wrapped up his career there. So he compares Marcus Mariota, as someone who he's seen in practice and in games quite often over the last few years, to Aaron Rodgers. Now, obviously, that's very high praise.
I think you should probably go around the same level in the draft.
Yeah. That should definitely be the comparison.
Well, the player comparisons are a thing that we've talked about in the past. Look, they're very – it's you have to take it with context. You know, so I don't know that necessarily he thinks that they're similar prospects or, you know, in similar – you know, that their throwing motions or their arm strength or their skill sets are similar. I think it's more in the terms of, look, Aaron Rodgers is a guy that can win inside the pocket, outside the pocket. I think he views Mariota as a guy who can do both as well. So – and that's the thing with these things. Like I said, you need context. You can't say like, oh, you know, Josh Robinson, the running back from Mississippi State, he's Maurice Jones-Drew, so he's going to be a second round pick. I mean, you have to take it with context.
So next item, and we'll keep with the quarterbacks. Daniel Jeremiah, former
draft buzz, always quarterback heavy.
It is
always,
yeah.
Well, especially early in the draft, those are the players you know the most. So Daniel Jeremiah, former Eagle scout, now with NFL Network, said that if you're going to pick a quarterback to step in from day one and make an impact, you go with Jameis Winston over Marcus Mariota. And obviously that's because of the system that he played in. At least that's going to be the initial thought that he'll be able to step in.
Well, it depends on the system, too. I
mean, of course.
In a vacuum.
Yes.
Jameis Winston probably can play earlier for more teams tomorrow than
Mariota
can. But
there are going to be teams that he can play for.
I think that's what it's about is, you know, in a vacuum. So. And that's the difficult part about being on the outside looking in with all these prospects, not just the quarterbacks, but you're looking at it in a vacuum. You're not trying to, you know, scout for one particular system, one particular coach, and, you know, his wants, his needs for his roster. Jameis Winston playing in that offense makes more anticipation throws, more tight window type passes than Marcus Mariota saw at Oregon.
Or at least that's what he's done to this point. It's not that Mariota can't do that at
exactly.
the next level. It's just he wasn't asked to do it as much.
He's just okay.
But I was not a Jameis guy.
No, I'm not a Jameis guy.
Next item here on Draft Buzz. So Mike Mayock from NFL Network said that one of the players who really shined during the week of Senior Bowl practices, he didn't get the chance to play in the game due to injury, Denzel Perryman will be a first-round pick at inside linebacker.
Didn't he only play one day? Did he only practice one day?
No, he practiced on Thursday as well. Okay. He came back, and then I believe he played in the game as well.
Oh, okay.
The caveat with Perryman is that if he runs well at the combine,
yeah, I mean, if he runs a 4.15, he'll go in the first round.
Here's the thing with a guy like Perryman. You know, he started 3+ years. Instinctive guy. It's a pro style defense down there. They're in a 3-4. They do a lot of different things. So from a mental standpoint, he knows a lot of the different things that NFL teams are going to ask him to do. Very good tackler. Very instinctive. Plays sideline to side. A high motor guy. High character guy. The big question is how is he in space? And if he does go out and he does run well. I thought he had a good week, you know, from what we saw from at the Senior Bowl, obviously in limited reps. But if he can go out and run well, that'll be the answer to some questions that I would imagine teams would have.
So the last item here, and we'll stick with defense, it's another Mike Mayock item, and it's another player who helped his stock during Senior Bowl. Carl Davis from Iowa could be a first-round pick.
On our Senior Bowl wrap-up podcast, Fran went with Carl Davis as the first player drafted from the Senior Bowl. So
really, certainly
you would agree.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he was really, really good on tape. And then seeing him down there in person, I mean, he was dominant from from day one on as one of the best defensive linemen there. I thought the defensive line may have been the best group there at the Senior Bowl, and he was the best of the bunch. So I don't know that he's going to be Aaron Donald and go 12th overall, but
well, wasn't that the big question about Davis? Was that the pass rush ability, which you knew you had with Donald? It's with Davis. It's like he did not show that as much at Iowa during his time in college.
And conversely, the question with Donald was how would he hold up against the run? And Carl Davis is phenomenal against the run. So different questions, but I think both of those guys answered the bell down in Mobile. I'll be interested to see where Davis ends up getting drafted.
And it is Carl Davis, not Davis Carl, right?
It is not Davis Carl.
Hmm.
I should have asked that asked him that question when we talked.
And speaking of which,
the unofficial visit with Carl Davis from the Senior Bowl.
The unofficial visit.
All right, we are here with Carl Davis, the big lineman from Iowa. And Carl, for Eagles fans who may not know, give us the scouting report on you. What do you do well and what do you need to work on?
I feel like I control the line of scrimmage pretty well. You know, I'm pretty good inside and controlling my blocks and getting penetration. You know, I can close the pocket, you know, and pass rush, you know. And the things I just need to work on is just, you know, just making plays more often, you know, being consistent. I think I'm a very versatile guy. I can play anywhere along the line.
You speak about versatility, and that's always a key for guys in the NFL, being able to move along the line. You feel like you can do that, as you said?
Yeah, definitely. You know, it started this week. You know, I played on the opposite side, too, something I never did before in college. And, you know, I feel like I did fine there. And it's just been a great experience out here, just, you know, trying different things and getting coached by an NFL team.
3-4 versus 4-3, you feel like you could do it all?
Yeah, I feel like I can play anywhere. It's just all it is just trying to control the man in front of you. Nothing else matters.
Has this week been fun, sort of testing yourself against some of the best in the country?
Oh, yeah. Competition is always fun. You know, I'm a competitor, and I love it. Every day, you know, you got to come to work, and because, you know, either you're going to win or somebody else is going to try to win. And, you know, I'd rather win. So, you know, that's just my mindset, and it's been fun out here going against these guys.
If I ask you if you are the best defensive lineman here, what would you say?
I won't even speak on that right now. I don't like, you know, putting myself in categories like that, but, you know, I am who I am, and, you know, that what you see on tape, you know, that's me.
Sure. You know, as you go through the draft process, people are going to talk about NFL comparisons. It always happens. Do you have one in mind that you think you are similar to?
Well, I don't really compare myself. Some people say I look like Julius Peppers, but no, I mean, it's a lot of different guys. I try to take little bits and pieces of their game. One of my favorite players, Ndamukong Suh, been studying him since I was in high school, honestly, and when he was at Nebraska. And then also, you know, guys like, you know, Darnell Dockett and one of my old teammates, Mike Daniels. You know, he's a guy that's, you know, really, really been influential in my growth with football.
One of the things I like to ask guys is when you dream of making a big play, is it a sack or is it a stop and fourth down?
Ooh. I mean, sacks are great, but when you get the opportunity to get off on, you know, fourth down, and, you know, usually if it's fourth down, it's probably a game time situation,
right,
and you make that stop, you know, TFL, that's a big play too, you know, because that's putting your team in a winning situation. So, you know, I'll probably have to go with the fourth down play.
All right, last one. Who's the best player you played against this season?
Probably the guard from Pittsburgh. I don't know his name, but he was number 74. Him and Clemens together, they had some good double teams on me this year, and, you know, we really went at it, and, you know, I got a lot of respect for those guys. I told Clemens that this week, you know, when I got a chance to talk to him.
All right, cool. Well, Carl, best of luck throughout the draft process. Maybe we'll see you in Philadelphia.
Appreciate it.
On the clock.
All right, so we're switching it up. We're going on the clock ahead of pick six today.
That's right.
Producer changing up. I like it.
How dare you?
All right, I'll throw them out for you. We're going back to Would You Rather.
All right. I like the Would You Rathers.
So I'm taking a look at some of the positions we've talked about as potential areas of focus for the Eagles. Free agency versus the draft.
Okay.
Would you rather the Eagles sign Jake Locker?
Okay.
Or draft Brett Hundley in the third round?
Here's the thing, I think, with these kind of Would You Rathers is you almost would rather always go with the veteran because, you know,
ooh,
at least you know what you've got.
Oh,
me.
I disagree.
You think so, huh?
I agree, but for a different reason, but go ahead.
I would go with the draft pick because if it's someone that you can develop and mold, whereas Locker, he's going to be set in his ways to a certain extent. Now, he does bring an intriguing skill set, but there's still some aspects. Accuracy's not been great. Injury history.
Well, I would always... in a vacuum air on the side of the free agent so that you can feel free to address whatever position you want when the draft pick comes up.
That's true too.
You know, assuming no cap implications,
right.
I'd rather have Jake Locker in the can. And then if I want to take Brett Hundley in the fourth round, I can take him then and spend the third round pick on whoever I want.
What I'm thinking about, I guess I'm not thinking about that. I'm forcing the pick in the third round or the fourth round. I'm thinking that, I'm trying to take that value into consideration, how that's going to be perceived as well. Now, the more immediate impact would be you would take Locker because he's so...
Fran was a Locker fan coming out.
Yeah.
but for different reasons than Hundley, because Hundley, I think, you know, you've got the natural tools, you've got the athleticism, you've got the strong arm, you've got the mobility, obviously, you know, inside and outside the pocket, but you want to mold the mental aspects, whereas Locker, yeah, he was a good athlete, but the questions with his arm, the questions with his accuracy were there, but you had a 3.5-year starter who, you know, had a little bit of savviness to him and, you know, and kind of knew what he was doing a little bit back there, whereas I don't know that we have that with Hundley, so... I think I'm going to go Locker.
I think I'm going to go Hundley.
All right.
On this one.
I would take Locker.
All right.
All right, next one. Wide receiver. Would you rather the Eagles re-sign Jeremy Maclin and draft Philip Dorsett in the second round, or the Eagles draft Kevin White in the first round and sign Cecil Shorts in free agency?
Definitely the first. Yeah.
That's not even
a question. Yeah, Jeremy
I
Maclin.
I thought about going with like Torrey Smith.
I still would take
it. If it was Torrey Smith, I don't know.
Regardless, I think it's still Jeremy Maclin.
Unless it's one of the like Dez Bryant, Demaryius Thomas, Randall Cobbs, I think you go with Maclin.
You definitely got to take Maclin.
Yeah.
Okay. This is one that Fran suggested yesterday. It's a good one. Would you rather have Trey Waynes at number 20, the Michigan State cornerback, or sign Byron Maxwell?
It's an either or.
Yes. You can't have both. That's it. Would you rather?
And see, this is a difficult one because obviously you're it's an unknown quantity in Trey Waynes in terms of his NFL potential. You know what he can do in college, but what can he do as you're talking about with all these prospects? And then with Maxwell, you're still projecting a little bit as well to a guy who has very limited experience as a starter.
Could be a lot of money.
Could be a lot of money.
That's the thing. He's going to need to get paid.
Yep.
I go Waynes. Because I could see the Eagles looking at different options. You go back to last year. Everyone wanted Jairus Byrd, and now Malcolm Jenkins obviously wasn't as expensive as Jairus Byrd, but was the better fit. And I could see the Eagles trying to find that possible player. Now, I'm not saying they shouldn't go get Byron Maxwell, but it seems like that, especially if he has a great Super Bowl game, he's going to need to get paid.
I'm good with either one. If I had to pick, I think I'm going to go Waynes.
You like Waynes
a lot. I like Waynes.
That's good value, Tony.
Yeah, I like Waynes.
Okay.
You're torn. You don't even know the answers to your questions.
I think I'd take Maxwell, and then if Wayne's on the board at 20, I'll take
him. You can't take them both.
I mean, I want to have my freedom in the draft. You know. All right. Well, we'll see. We'll test it again. Would you rather the Eagles draft Stephon Anthony?
Okay.
In the third round.
Stephon Anthony in the third round.
Good value.
Okay.
Or sign Mason Foster.
Ooh.
The former Bucks linebacker.
I'm going to take Mason Foster. Mm-hmm. I liked Mason Foster out of Washington, number one. Number two, I feel with Stephon Anthony, I thought he had a nice week at the Senior Bowl. Him in the third round, I feel like you might be able to get better value later on with another player or you know,
Mike Hall in the sixth.
Sure.
Yeah. All right, last one. Would you rather have trust or love? We were talking, we should have asked the prospects that question.
Yeah, that's a good point.
We should have been good.
That, you know what would happen is we'll go to the combine. And then the question they always get asked is, like, what's the weirdest interview question you've been given? And they'll say, some guy from the Eagles asked us if we'd rather have trust or love.
They're like, oh, Chip Kelly asked me? I'm like, no, Chris McPherson asked me.
All right, well, with that in the rearview mirror, let's go back to another unofficial visit from the Senior Bowl. We mentioned him earlier in the segment. Philip Dorsett, the speedy wide receiver from the U. We caught up with him to talk about that speed.
The unofficial visit.
All right, we are here with Philip Dorsett, Miami wide receiver. And Philip, you know, I like to ask guys the scouting report on them for fans who have never watched them. But for you, I know it's speed.
Yeah, I would like to say so.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So tell us what that brings to the table for you. Deep threat, short, intermediate. What do you like to do best?
I like to do both. I mean, I was used a lot as a deep threat at UM. But my senior year, I started getting a little more intermediate stuff, getting hitches, getting slants and stuff like that. So and that helped me a lot. I mean, it's been fun at UM. I mean, like I said, it's my offensive coordinator. We played with a freshman quarterback this year, so it was kind of tough. But we got used to it, and we started clicking at the end of the year.
Have you always been growing up like the fastest kid of all your friends, the fastest kid around?
Now I would say around when I got to high school, around my 10th grade year. That's when I started really separating.
So in high school, I'm sure you played other sports too, right? What else did you play?
Ran track?
Yeah. Were you like state champ or anything like that?
Yeah, I was state
champ. Yeah, no big deal, yeah. What was your race?
I was a long jump guy, and I got like second in the 100 and second in the 200, stuff like that.
Okay.
But Florida, you know how Florida is. Florida is it's a fast state.
Right.
The guys I lost to are basically professional track runners now.
Right.
So, yeah.
So in high school, you must have been the fastest guy on the field. What was it like when you made the jump from high school to college? Were you immediately among or the fastest guy on the team at the U?
When I got to college, we had Travis Benjamin.
Okay.
He was probably the fastest guy on the team. Lamar Miller, guys like that, they were definitely probably some of the fastest guys on the team. But I made my leap between my freshman and my sophomore year. That's when I really started going. And I got the training with Coach Swayze, and he got me stronger, got me a lot stronger, and that's when I really started getting faster.
It's funny to think about, like, you know, I understand you can work on your hands, but how do you work on getting faster? How do you do that?
It's all about strength. I mean, strength and just working on, like, pulling sleds, stuff like that, mm-hmm. working on your turnover, working on your stride lift, stuff like that. And our strength coach does a great job with it. And that's all it is. I mean, when you really work at it, you'll see the results.
So I don't want to make you sound like a one-dimensional player. You've certainly got more than just the speed on your side. Tell us about your hands. Tell us about what else you do well.
Yeah, this week I just tried to go out there and just show teams that I was every down receiver, all around receiver too, and just showing them that I do have great hands and I can run routes. So I said that was the biggest emphasis on this week, just going out there, just trying to get better every day.
Is there a kind of coverage from a cornerback that gives you more trouble now than others that you sort of need to work on or anything like that?
When I at UM didn't get a lot of press coverage,
right?
Because they were afraid of our team when it comes to speed. We got a lot of speed guys on our team, so coming here, I mean, I'm not gonna sit here and say press coverage gives me all the problems, but
it's an experience thing. You haven't seen it as much.
I've seen a lot because we do it in practice every day.
Okay.
That's all we do in practice. But when it comes to the games, we never get it.
Right.
But I mean, it's something that I'm used to. But I mean, it's something that I have fun doing. I mean, it's fun. Working with these guys, some of the best corners in the country,
right.
and it's fun. I'm looking forward to it every day.
Are there receivers in the league who you sort of look up to and say you have a similar game to, anything like that?
Yeah, you got guys like Antonio Brown, you got Deshaun Jackson, T.Y. Hilton, guys like that, Emmanuel Sanders, the little guys that do more than just go deep and do more in ins and outs and stuff like that. So guys like that.
For rookies, of course, special teams is always important. Did you return it at the U as well?
Yeah, I returned my sophomore, my junior year.
Okay.
Yeah.
You feel like something you're good at?
Yeah, I would say. I mean, I'm good at fielding punts. I'm really good at it. And I mean, it's something that I know I would have to do once I make the jump.
Right.
And it's something that I'm looking forward to doing.
We like to ask guys who the best player they played against this season was. Who would you say?
It was actually a safety.
Okay.
Jalen Ramsey.
Oh, from where's he from?
Florida State.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, probably. And then how about, you know, you got plenty of guys from the U coming with you to the league.
Uh-huh.
Give us the scouting report on some of those guys. Who should we look out for?
Definitely all the guys out of here: Denzel Perryman, Ladarius Gunner, Clyde Walford, Duke Johnson, of course, mm-hmm. Anthony Ciccolo. Got a lot of guys this year. Actually, it's a big class. I mean, Shane McDermott, Jonathan Feliciano. It's a lot. It's a lot.
If you could only bet on one of them making a Pro Bowl, who would it be?
That guy, Denzel Perryman.
Okay. That's a good one.
Definitely.
All right. Well, last question, because we talked about the speed. What's your target for the combine? What are you going to try to run?
You're
going to break 4.4?
Oh, yeah. I'm trying to break 4.3.
Okay.
Yeah.
You heard it here first. All right. Philip Dorsett from the U. Perhaps we'll see you in Philadelphia one day. Great to talk to you.
Thank you.
Now it's time for Pick 6.
If you guys haven't checked out NFL.com, already has all of their scout bios, or a good amount of them, already up much earlier this year. Lance Zierlein is helping with those, doing a great job. And speaking of Philip Dorsett, his comparison for Dorsett was John Brown, who unfortunately we got to see firsthand between the Eagles and the Cardinals this year. You guys also got to see him last year. What did you think of him? Was that a fair comparison?
Yeah, I know Norris was throwing the, or maybe several people were throwing the John Brown comparison at Jameson Crowder. I saw, but I think Dorsett is faster than John Brown. I mean, we saw him at the Shrine Game, and we were like, okay, that guy is definitely fast. But he was coming from Pittsburgh State,
He was at the Shrine game. I think we sort of undersold him.
And he was smaller, too. Yeah. I mean, you know, Dorsett's not big in any stretch of the imagination, but Dorsett at least goes up and fights for the ball. We didn't see that from John Brown at all.
I mean, when John Brown's on the field, he looks, with his helmet, he looks like Marvin the Martian.
Right. I mean, we've talked about that before. Like, his helmet's, like, shaking, like, when he's running.
Way too big,
like,
yeah.
Like, so, yeah, John Brown's a tough one because he's – I think that's a really rare case.
Yeah. It's like the – you know, the Wes Welker comparisons to
right.
It's like it's hard to compare somebody to such a unique
sure
thing.
So we're going to transition now to our pick six, and the theme for this week is now that we can start talking about the underclassmen that they've all declared. There's a total of 74 underclassmen, and there's an additional 10 players like Marcus Mariota who have already graduated, so they have been accepted as early entrants as well. So 84 players that we can really talk about in earnest, and who are the six that you're most intrigued to learn about during the next couple of months of the scouting process. And I'll kick this one off. And it's a guy that we talked about already, Brett Hundley from UCLA, because everyone I know is talking about Mariota and Winston. And now the next tier seems to be it's going to be Brett Hundley. Can his skill set fit with the Eagles? Is he a good developmental type prospect? Is he a guy that you're going to have to get in the first or second round, or can you get him in the middle round? So that was the first person. I kind of just went going position by position.
Sure.
I started quarterback, so I went Brett Hundley there to start things off.
I did the same thing, going position by position, and I'm also going Brett Hundley. Now, you know, for me, you know, Fran is certainly more aware of these guys going in.
Of course.
You know, my focus is those senior guys, and now I can finally sort of turn my attention to those players. And I'm looking at it not necessarily for Hundley, but for the other guys on my list. The positions we've talked about, and I'm just for these looking at maybe first or second round options. And you know, I know that Fran is not a huge fan of Hundley. He's not in your top five quarterbacks right now, I think. But you know, he's got those tools. He's got the mobility. I'd like to watch a little more of him. I've watched some games of him in college, but not studying the tape. But my sense is that the league think is going to catch up to your idea of Brett Hundley.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. And look, a couple years ago, we saw E.J. Manuel, who was a big guy, who was athletic.
He lost to Wake Forest.
I know, but a big guy who was athletic and had a strong arm, sneak into the first round in a quarterback draft that wasn't perceived to be very strong. So that could very well happen. If you want to learn more about Brett Hundley, his favorite athlete growing up.
Donovan McNabb.
Donovan McNabb.
He will always love five.
That's right. So, Brett Hundley, look, interesting skill set. I think you put it best when you said it, a guy that you want to bring in and develop. I don't know that you're going to spend a first or second round pick. I might be wrong, but it's just how I see it.
Number two on my list, Todd Gurley.
Who was number one on your list, Fran?
Oh, yeah, we didn't get your number one.
I went position by position, too. It's all right. And obviously, my list is going to look a little bit differently, different than you guys.
You're aware of the guys at the top of the draft. Right. You're guys you haven't even watched, right?
One guy that has gotten a little bit of buzz, a junior that declared out of Houston, 6'3", 200 pounds, former five-star recruit that went to Houston, was the first five-star recruit ever to commit to Houston.
So he's a teammate of Joey Mboo.
Joe Mboo.
I can tell you that. Yeah.
Wide receiver Deontay Greenberry. And I've heard a lot of good things about him. I haven't watched a lick. I have no sense of how good he is and what his strengths and weaknesses are. So he's a guy I'm excited to learn more about.
All right. Why don't you go with your number two, since I already...
Number two, I went with Minnesota tight end Max Williams, a guy that...
Double X.
Yeah, I was just going to say, yep.
Double X. Many have touted this guy as possibly the best tight end in the draft. 6'4", 250 pounds. He was first team all Big Ten this year. Minnesota has a lot of talent actually coming out in the draft this year and next year. So get used to hearing about the Gophers and Jerry Kill and that staff. But Max Williams is definitely perceived as maybe the best tight end in this group. I haven't watched him.
All right. So number two on my list, I said running back Todd Gurley, and it's because he was considered the best back before the suspension, the injury. How will he be perceived in the draft process? How far along in his rehab will he be by the time the draft comes along in late April? Will he still go? He's projected to be a first-round pick. Last year, there were no first-round running backs. He was expected to help break that trend this year. Will he still do it, or is he going to drop back around or possibly even more?
All right. I thought about a running back. I thought about going with Duke Johnson, but instead I'm going with Devin Funchess, the wide receiver,
nice.
Maybe tight end from Michigan. What's he, 6'5", 230 is what he's listed at?
Something like that, yeah.
And, you know, Could be a possibility at 20 for the Eagles. So I'd like to watch a little bit of him.
Monster going up, getting the ball. And Gurley, I think, no question, he's the best back in the draft. Whether or not he goes in the first round, I guess, is the big debate. But I don't know. I heard that he might be ready to do some kind of a pro day, even though he tore his ACL in like November.
Amazing.
So it's insane. The third guy on my list, I went with Miami left tackle Ereck Flowers. He had a big year this year. He was starter, left tackle, 6'5", 325 pounds.
Is it E-R-I-C-K?
E-R-E-C-K.
I knew it was a weird one.
Yeah. And the big thing, he kind of jumped onto my radar about a year ago. I was reading an interview that Coach Golden did with one of the Miami radio stations, and he said, keep an eye out for Ereck Flowers, and he went on about how he's put on all this weight and how much he's grown and all the work ethic in the weight room. So I kind of earmarked his name because I know that he doesn't, you know, dole out praise, willy-nilly. So I knew that this guy deserved it. And he came out and he ended up declaring for the draft. And some people think he could be, people talk about TJ Clemmings going into the Senior Bowl last week. He's a guy who could slot, you know, rise up these boards and possibly go top 15. Flowers is another one of these guys that people are possibly talking about in that vein.
So my number three guy, wide receiver, Doriel Green Beckham.
Good one.
Yes.
Former Missouri star, was dismissed from the program. First round talent, went to Oklahoma, practiced there for a year, hasn't played, but decided to declare for the draft. Still considered someone who could go in the first round, but, you know, what will the background check show? What will teams think of him? You know, talent wise, he belongs there, but will he drop because of those?
Certainly an outstanding talent. I'd like to watch a little bit of him. I think, judging on the character emphasis we've seen from Chip Kelly, I would be surprised if he landed here. But that's going to be the question for everybody. He's a top 10 talent.
He's some people say AJ Green type of guy. I mean, that's the kind of physical stature that he's got, the athleticism, and the ability to go up and win. So
I am most interested if DGB allows us to continue playing shimmy shimmy yad drops.
I don't know.
DGB,
it might be ODB? Might be a little bit of a stretch. Don't play it.
Yeah.
Too much of a stretch, I think.
You want to.
All right, so what do you got? Who's your next guy?
My number three is a guy who we talked about, a little debate about at the Senior Bowl, Fran, and that is Mississippi State linebacker Bernardrick McKinney, the inside linebacker. 6'5", 249 is what he is listed as. And I was exchanging emails with Sam Lynch, friend of the show,
sure,
who wanted to know what games he should watch on McKinney, because he'd watched a few and was not impressed. He does not think he's very instinctive. So he was, as of a couple weeks ago, your number one inside linebacker. So I'm wondering, I want to watch for myself too.
And what's interesting is I don't know that he's an inside linebacker. So with that body type and the comparison that people have made over the last couple of weeks, I've seen it kind of floating around. Dante Hightower, who was that same kind of frame, who ended up playing inside linebacker, plays at a high level for the Patriots. We'll see him play Sunday. McKinney, I think, is a little bit different. I do want to watch more. But that LSU game, I thought, was a game that he stood out to me.
Okay.
See him run down the seam. My next guy, I went with Oregon defensive lineman Ereck Armstead. We got the overlap.
A little overlap.
We both had Hundley.
Yeah, I went with Armstead. He played basketball up until 2013. Obviously, at 6'7", 296 pounds. I mean, he's got a huge frame. He's athletic. Just on the cuff, from what I've seen watching on TV, I mean, he definitely looks the part. His brother Armin was a CFL star, ended up signing with New England Patriots.
Has he done anything?
I don't think so, but still, I mean, you know, the bloodlines are there. He was a five-star recruit in high school. I'm really interested to kind of dig deeper into him.
I could skip.
Okay,
there you
my
go.
Turn.
There you
I'll
go.
See my turn.
All right,
and Ereck Armstead as well. So
there you go.
All right, my four and five. I have a pair of cornerbacks.
Okay.
We're always sort of looking for that length at cornerback. So Jalen Collins from LSU, who was listed as 6'2", 198, and then Stanford cornerback Alex Carter, who is listed at 6 feet, which means he's probably under 6 feet, just knowing how those things go. But I want to watch those two guys and see if they're maybe second round options. So
I went with another LSU guy, Daniel Hunter, the pass rusher from LSU, who every time that I've watched them, he has made a flash play. He moves in the way that he bends and the way that he runs reminds me of Barkevious Mingo, who I really, really liked a couple years ago, was a first round pick of the Cleveland Browns. And he flashes that same kind of movement. So I'm excited to watch him more. I just love LSU. is one of my favorite teams to watch just because of the way that they recruit, the kind of kids they bring in there physically are just, you know, between them, Oregon, and Alabama, it's just fun watching those teams play because of the type of guys they recruit.
Like Bo, I went to the defensive backfield. I went with Trey Waynes, who we've already talked about
sure.
here on the show, just because Mel Kiper's first mock draft had the Eagles selecting him. Thought maybe that, you know, that it's a possibility there. So,
cool. I've got another guy who's mocked to the Eagles often, who we've also already talked about, Landon Collins. Just want to dig in deeper and dip my beak deeper with Landon Collins. And see if he's a worthwhile option at 20.
Yeah, and that'll be an interesting question with him. And the last guy I went with, Florida State corner, P.J. Williams, 6 foot, 196 pounds, was the MVP of the title game in 2013, was one of Bruce Feldman's freakiest athletes in college football last summer. And sure. I know a lot of these guys that have
you
watched
love
him,
that list.
I do love that list because you always find a couple guys that no one knew about. Who was the defensive lineman from SMU that the Bengals ended up taking?
Marcus
mm-hmm. Hunt. And he was on that list. You know, guys that you have no
26
idea. 26
years old.
There. I know. Yeah, you're
2 years into his career, hasn't done anything. Good investment.
But you know,
great discus thrower though.
That's right. But you see guys, you know, like Dan Jeremiah. I know was tweeting about P.J. Williams, said he liked him the other night. So P.J. Williams is a guy I'm interested to watch more.
Another defensive back. Last year, everyone wanted Calvin Pryor, the Louisville safety, so I was interested to learn more about, or I want to learn more about, Jared Holloman, safety from Louisville.
My initial read is that he stinks.
Your initial read would be one. I don't know that I want to say that he stinks, but
if he had to clear the throat, then obviously he's making some sort of declaration there.
I don't know that I'm going to say that he stinks, but he's got a lot to work on.
But he's not good.
He had really good production on the ball this year. So there's that.
So there you have it. All right, so we're going to transition now to our interactive part of the show, the draft mailbag.
Now it's time to hear from you, the fans, in the draft mailbag.
Those intros are great. Love the bumpers there. So the first one, I actually went to the Eagles message boards. The EMB started a thread on there, some good responses, hearing from some people who I haven't talked to in quite some time. One fan was asking when Eagles Live is coming back.
Good question.
So the first question here from Philly Eagles 852, will Chip try to snab another offensive weapon or will he just stick to defense? So
depends how the board falls, man.
Exactly. I think, of course, we'll see how free agency impacts things.
I would be very surprised if the Eagles do not add another skill position player in the draft.
I would agree with
at
that
at some point. I think, but we all really think they're going to take a running back somewhere here because this draft is so loaded with running backs.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good running back class. I mean, it's another good receiver class. The offensive line, I think there's some talented players.
Not
so,
a skill position.
Not but, a skill yeah. position, but on the offensive side.
Yeah.
But.
Well, he's certainly not going to take all defensive players. That's
right,
insane.
Exactly. Yeah. So we'll see.
So the next one, speaking of running backs, from Twitter, at JoeyV3 asks, where would you rank Duke Johnson in the class of running backs?
Well, here's the thing with Duke Johnson. I mean, really athletic guy, has really good speed, really
more,
good
more
quickness.
More of a scat back type?
Probably more of a scat back type. The big thing that you worry about with Duke Johnson, obviously the size. He's had some injury issues in the past. I don't know that his vision inside is really great. And really the one thing that kind of surprised me, I didn't see great make-you-miss ability, great wiggle in the hole. So, I mean, those are two, when you look at running backs who typically, you know, tend to not have a lot of success in the NFL, vision and make you miss ability, the ability to kind of make the first unblocked defender miss kind of limits
the LeSean McCoy. Yeah.
Correct, exactly. Yeah, I mean, that's to an elite scale, but, right. You know, those are two factors. But look, he's got the physical tools you want. I like his ability as a blocker. I like his ability as a receiver. So I think he definitely has a future in the league. Where I'd rank him, I don't know. I mean, that's still
outside of your top five. Probably.
You know, there are some interesting backs in this class, though. I mean, the kid, Tevin Coleman from Indiana, I really like. He kind of burst onto the scene this year, 6 foot, 210 pounds. Kind of reminded me of like a Clinton Portis type of guy.
Jay Ayaji.
Ayaji from Boise State, I think, is really, really talented. So it's a good group overall. It's a really good group.
At some point, will we unveil the Fran rankings?
No, never. No,
we'll just ask questions every week.
Yeah, someone out there who is, you know, aggressive enough that they'll be able to composite some
if
of.
If someone does
stuff,
that, I will send autograph merchandise too.
It's Sounds good.
By the end of the process, you gotta go back through all of them.
But the problem is it's an evolving list, so all the information becomes outdated.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
So we'll see. So next one, going back to the defensive backfield, Adam, with a great Twitter handle, OSnapU, wants to know which of the cornerbacks would be good scheme fits.
Is that a U with Y-O-U or just U?
It's Y-O-O-U.
Well, that's weird.
Or
OSnapU regular was taken.
Probably.
I had to go with the double O. Go ahead, Fred. This is a question for you.
I mean, Trey Waynes obviously would be at the top of the list. I would think he'll be at the top of the list for most teams that want press corners. You look at a guy like Jalen Collins, we talked about. P.J. Williams, in theory, you know, I want to do more work on him. But P.J. Williams, Alex Carter is another junior that came out that people are kind of high on. Kevin Johnson, we unfortunately didn't get to see at the Senior Bowl, but has the size, the length that you'd want. Let's see.
Of the guys we saw the last couple of weeks, Eric Rowe.
Eric Rowe, sure, absolutely. If you go in the lower end, you know, in the later rounds, so Josh Shaw, we talked about, has the size, has the frame. I know Bo's not a fan, but, you know, there's not a lot of depth in this cornerback class, you know, in terms of, like, you get to the later rounds, and I think that's the case every year. You know, you typically aren't going to get, you know, great, great value in the seventh round for corners, but...
Do you like Gunter? Ladarius Gunter from Miami?
You know, he was better at the Senior Bowl than I thought he was going to be.
Yeah, I didn't like him on tape, but he wasn't bad in the Senior Bowl.
And he did a really good job in press situations. I thought he did a really good job staying, staying physical at the line of scrimmage. And the thing with him in Miami, we talked about Denzel Perryman and all the different schemes, and from the mental side, they used him in a lot of different ways. They played him at safety. They played him at nickel. They played him on the outside, to both sides of the wide side and the short side of the field. So positional versatility is definitely a strength of Gunter's.
I think cornerback is my favorite position to watch tape on.
You think so?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Do you think you have the eye for corner more than...
I wouldn't go that far, but I think...
No. He picked Richard Sherman out of a crowd a few years ago.
That's true, yeah. And Kendrick Burney. I think it's easier for a novice to look at corners because it's a lot of it is about one-on-one matchups. You're just looking like, you know, how fluid they are, stuff like that. Whereas at so many positions, you have no idea where they're supposed to be.
Sure.
So at corner, there's a little bit more mano-a-mano stuff where you can judge probably easier.
Very good. The last
one. I feel like I'm faking it less at cornerback.
All right, fellas.
Who's your Super Bowl MVP pick?
Ooh, I like that. Michael Bennett.
If one of us nails this, I think, and it can't, like, no quarterbacks.
Sure.
What do we get as a prize?
A Tony Pauline T-shirt.
Okay.
Okay.
Tony Pauline T-shirt and lunch.
All right, Michael Bennett.
Okay.
I'm gonna go. Jeremy Lane.
Ooh, that's a
good one. Good one. I'm going. Danny Amendola.
Wow, you're really
the
reaching.
The first interview I ever had as a Eagles employee that's was nice. With Danny Amendola. So I'll give him a shout out.
Very nice. Nice little touch there.
That's good.
So Fellas,
it's never gonna happen.
you know what?
You clearly don't want the Tony Pauline T-shirt and lunch.
No, that's true. I've got enough. I got enough of Tony's merchandise.
See,
I don't really know what that means.
The biggest difference I think between the All-Star games covering those and the combine, and I've never covered the All-Star games, but it's obviously the quality time with Tony Pauline, because Tony Pauline is, you know, he's working his stuff behind the scenes. He's talking to agents. He's trying to get into the workouts. He's trying to do all this different stuff. Basically, we see him when we film our pieces with him. That's pretty much it. Because he's too busy in the morning doing his morning runs, training for his next decathlon.
We usually have breakfast.
Usually, once during the 5 days we're out there. But it's not as much quality
time. I miss him already.
It's not as much quality time. You guys are doing play-by-play.
I just hope I get to see him. I hope he gets to come by for draft weekend. That's all I'm really crossing my fingers.
I hope so.
That would be huge. So
we'll see.
But, fellas, it's great to be back. Great to have you guys back here in Philly.
Welcome, sure. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. So next week's show, we'll have a special guest, some more of the unofficial visits, and a whole lot more draft buzz, and we'll delve more into the prospects. So until then, you have listened to the Journey to the Draft podcast
presented by AAA.